Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast.
Welcome back to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Folks, and I'm telling you, I'm so excited this week because it is week 17. Week 17, trust me, it's all about the playoffs, so we will jump into that. Speaking of jumping, Alvin Kamara jumped into the end zone six times, six touchdowns. That's incredible. And Tua gets benched again. Fitzmagic comes in and get the win. We must break that down. And to help us break down all that's going on in Cleveland, we sit down with Rashad Higgins, the wide receiver from the Cleveland Browns. Let's jump right into this right away because I am excited to talk to you this day. First of all, guys, let me just say this personally as we talk here. We're all football fans. We love this sport. But I just want you to know that this has been quite a year. You know, I can take a year of ups because I try to manage the ups. I can take a year of downs because I try to fight out of the valleys. But this junk up and down, down and up, and here I am sitting at week 17 with a chance for the Dallas Cowboys to get into the playoffs. Like, are you joking? They playing with my emotions all year like this, and then we come to week 17 like, hey, we got a shot, and it's set up in a crazy way. Because, you know, if I jump all in emotionally on Sunday at noon and the Cowboys win, and I'm high, I'm up again. And then the Washington team, they win on Sunday night. Then I'm low and down again. It will be apropos to the type of season that I have had. I know everybody's excited about playoffs. I'm just saying, I ain't asking for nothing. I ain't begging for nothing. But just throw a little prayer my way, please. Throw a little prayer my way. But let's dive right into this and dive right into big deal or no big deal, and have some fun with this. Let's start off with this. Y'all heard it. I saw it. We watched it. Alvin Kamara rushed for six touchdowns as the Saints clinched the NFC South in a huge 52-33 win over the Vikings on Christmas Day. Wasn't that a nice gift to get on Christmas Day to watch Alvin Kamara rush for six touchdowns? I loved it. Is this a big deal? You better believe this is a big deal. Let's look at this thing from the Saints' point of view. All the injuries that they have had, all the situations that they have had, if they can get Alvin Kamara rushing the football like this, it's not just the six touchdowns, it's the 155 rush yards. And now that they have Drew Brees back and healthy, and now that they're about to get back Michael Thomas, hopefully healthy. Yeah, man. The Saints will be someone to be reckoned with because I thought the way they played the Chiefs, I thought they played them incredibly and gave them all that they can handle. And if Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, and now Drew Brees get back and that triplet that they have, like we had those triplets, if they're going, oh, my God, that would be a great Super Bowl if it happens. And then Drew Brees can ride off into the sunset on the white horse after winning a Super Bowl. It's the greatest burial. I'll call it that. The greatest burial a pro football Hall of Famer can possibly have. I talk about it all the time with Ray Lewis. To win and wave goodbye. Drew Brees had that shot. That's why it's a big deal. Alvin Kamara rushed for six TDs. Let's go to number two here. Bucks clinched the wild card spot in a 47-7 win over the Lions. Big deal or no big deal? I love that game, but I got a no big deal this. We all expected Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to get into the playoffs. We didn't know if you would win the NFC South or get in as a wild card, but we all expected you, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, to be in this playoff. So I got to give it a no big deal. But a side note to it, just maybe not a big deal, but a small deal. Man, Tom Brady looked great in that first half, buddy. I know it was Detroit. I know Detroit, the Lions had missing a lot of players, and they were missing coaches, and they basically got the guy that was cleaning the helmets to call the defensive plays. They say, hey, man, can you put down that helmet? Stop cleaning the plays. Stop cleaning the helmet. Come over here. We need you to be the defensive coordinator and call all these plays. And Tom Brady carved him up like he was a helmet cleaner. In one half, they scored 34 points. That's the most points in the history of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's a no big deal, but it will be a little bit of a deal from those guys going into the playoffs on that high note, feeling good. Let's go. Number three. Seahawks win NFC West in a 20-9 victory over the Rams. Jared Goff hurts his thumb. He's not even playing this week against the Cards. Big deal or no big deal? I had the Seahawks winning this thing. You knew it. When the 49ers, this is a no big deal because the 49ers were the kings of this division. And when they had all those injuries, I had the Seahawks win. I knew the Seahawks would win this. I saw the Rams and thought the Rams were making a great drive, and they were, but things kind of fell apart. When the 49ers went down, all the power went to the Seahawks, and then the Seahawks started so great. So this is what we expected. I will no big deal that, even though I'm looking forward to seeing what they look like in the playoffs, because that defense of the Seahawks, oh my God, Jamal Adams and the boys, they're playing real good football right now. I know somebody over there said they were the best defense in the NFL. That's a little hyperbole, but I want you thinking at least before we go into the playoffs. So I like that they said it. Number four, let's get to it. Dwayne Haskins waived by the Washington football team, and he went unclaimed. Big deal or no big deal? This is a huge deal. A huge deal. This was the 15th pick in the draft. When you're the 15th pick in the draft, what you are given is some leeway. You're given leeway, man. You're given the opportunity to learn on the field. We will wait on you. We're going to wait on you. We invested in you. We invested millions and millions of dollars in you. We will wait on you. But they said, no, we're not waiting anymore. And it's just a number of things that has happened, you know, outside of his play. He in the game, he went 14-28, 154 yards, 2 sacks, and 2 interceptions. He didn't play well. And then, of course, we talked about the situation he had off the field out there not wearing a mask as he was looking at some ads. I mean, you know, in the theater bar, in the strip club. That's what I said. You know what I'm talking about. It was in the strip club. That's what that was. See? Yeah. So now I hope this kid gets another shot. And I'm hearing other teams are looking at him and looking at him as a backup. But this is a big deal. Because right now I want people to understand the severity of all of this. You used to get cut by teams when you broke the law. When you broke the law. And everybody writing about it. And you're embarrassed because, trust me, I've been there. And everybody talking about it. When you break the law. Now, it's just about breaking protocol. You're getting released for breaking protocol. Talking about COVID being strong. You're going to lose your job for not putting on that mask. That is a big deal. But I am a man that have needed 2 or 3, some say 4 or 5 other opportunities or second chances or second chance. Or do you call that a second, third chance, fourth chance? Okay, whatever it is, I needed a few of them. So I'm hoping Dwayne Haskins gets him a few more, at least another opportunity. Let's turn over to the AFC because so many great things are going on all the way around in this National Football League. I did this game the other night and I love this game. Tua bench, Fitzmagic savaged the win, came in off the bench, and salvage the win to help keep the Dolphins in the playoff race. Big deal or no big deal, they beat the Raiders 26-25. This is a huge deal because I think this game, and it was the holidays, everybody got a chance to watch it. It was a great game, changed leads in the last three, 4 minutes, four or five times, incredible plays all the way around. Everybody, Nelson Aguilar goes for a touchdown. Oh, man, it was just an insane game. And Fitzmagic comes off the bench after they pulled Tua. Tua wasn't playing horribly either. Tua was 17 for 22. He only threw for 94 yards, but he had a touchdown. That's a passer rating of 99, but he was not going up the field. They were confusing him deep up the field. He was dumping the ball off, getting short plays, and then they brought in Fitz. Fitz, 9 for 13, 182 yards, a touchdown, 137 rating, and he made incredible plays. I got a chance to interview Fitz after the game, and the first thing I said to him is that I've had some fun at his expense, saying some pretty crazy things. Like, I'm not taking Fitzpatrick. I'm not taking a quarterback that's playing basketball in the NFL, bouncing from team to team, all kinds of things. I've said those things. But after the game, after he showed up and did what he did again, stepped in that spot, made that play, they won the game. In that interview, I said to him, no more will I do this. You have earned my respect because I've seen it so many times. You can have that great career, win Super Bowls and become a Hall of Famer, but there's a place for somebody that has stuck around and made a career by working hard like he has. And when he was called upon, he stepped in, did his job without barking, without complaining, and he got it done. And then he goes right back to the bench. Not griping, not saying, everybody saw what I done, I should be playing. He's the ultimate team guy. I've heard people say, oh man, Michael's a great teammate. I ain't that great. Not that great. Not great like him. You catch me, if I'm winning the game, you start me next week. I want to hear that. You know what I'm saying? I ain't that great. And that's why I must pay homage to him for keep doing what he's doing the way he's doing it, man, and with the class that he does it in. And after that game, I saw Tua jumping on his back. They're like best friends. How do you be best friends in the midst of a competition like that? I mean, we're talking about a competition where the prize is $30 or $40 million a year. $30 or $40 million a year. That's what starting quarterbacks are going to be making. I just got to honor the man for being that kind of man. We all wish that we can find friends like Fitzpatrick, that kind of a person that he is. It is a big deal because Brian Flores, for me, the decisions that he has made makes him the coach of the year. What he's done with his quarterback and with that team. In 2019, the Miami Dolphins, they were the last scoring defense. In 2020, going into last week, they were the number one scoring defense. Great coaches is about X's and O's and managing the Jimmies and Joes. The X's and O's is what makes his defense great. And the way he's handling it, Fitzpatrick told me, he said, man, he does a great job communicating with everybody. That's just the way he's handling it, says to me, that man right there is coach of the year. Let's move on. Steelers win AFC North in a 28-24 comeback win over the Colts. Big deal or no big deal? This is a big deal. First of all, I felt the Steelers were starting to lose confidence because they started doing all kind of crazy things. They had a players-only meeting. Then they tell Juju Smith-Schuster, no more dancing, no more TikTok dancing on the logo. What the hell does the TikTok dancing on the logo have to do with you losing football games? They have nothing to do. This is what you call reaching. When they start reaching, that means they can't find a solution to why they're losing, and they're coming up with anything and everything. And when that happens, I start thinking a confidence issue is setting in. A confidence issue is setting in. Winning that game in the way they won that game in comeback fashion can give them back their confidence. And I believe that's what it did. That's why they already announced this week that Big Ben and some of the starters are going to rest. Because why would you rest your players if you just got back in rhythm after the skid that you just came off of? But they feel very good about the way they won that game against the Colts in the comeback. So they say now we can rest. It is a big deal. I honestly wouldn't have rest. I would have kept them guys going. But Mike Tomlin, he knows a little bit more than I do because he sees it every day. So that was a big deal for him to get the win the way they got the win. And now they can use this week 17 as the bye that they thought they had when they thought they were going undefeated. Because right now, the Chiefs will have that bye. Speaking of the Chiefs, let's go. The next one, Chiefs clinch top AFC seed in a win over the Falcons. Big deal or no big deal? Absolutely no big deal. We all knew this. We knew this would happen. We knew the Chiefs would be right where they are. And they are. Now, what is a little bit surprising is how tough that win was. I mean, they barely beat Atlanta. And as of late, you know, some teams have been holding the Chiefs back a little bit, not letting them blow up the scoreboard. While all the other teams that are going towards the playoffs, you know, are blowing up the scoreboard. I talked about the Saints did. We talked about what the Bucs did, putting up all of these points. So that's interesting. Let's just watch that. Maybe the Chiefs explode when they get back on the field in the playoffs. But right now, that's absolutely no big deal. They're even resting Patrick Mahomes this week and starting. They're resting the starters this week. So the Chiefs will be where they need to be in the end. Let's move to this one. The Jets beat the Browns 23-16. Bigger deal, win for Jets or loss for Browns. This isn't even close. You know, it would have been a bigger deal if the Jets. No, it's not. It wouldn't have been a bigger deal no matter what. The bigger deal is the loss for the Browns. The Browns haven't been in the playoffs in 17 years. And if you won that game, because the Colts lost to Pittsburgh early that we just talked about, the Browns would have been in the playoffs right now. That game was in Cleveland. Those folks, they deserve. Those dog pound folks, they be there every day barking their heads off, and they support that team. Been great to give them that gift. Here, this is what we give you. But they did not. Because so many players, all of the receivers, basically, did not play because of COVID protocol. That was a big deal, man. That was a big deal. And I hope the Browns understand they let one get away because now they have to beat the Steelers to get into the playoffs. But the good thing is, like I said, the Steelers won't be playing their starters, so that'll give you a chance. But we'll talk about all that is going on in Cleveland with our guest. That's wide receiver. One of the wide receivers who, because of COVID protocols, did not play against the Jets. Rashad Higgins joins the MIP next. Joining me now, as I promised, this young man I get a chance to work out with because he's from Dallas, Texas. We do these hard trampoline workouts. And then while we're doing these workouts that wears your ass out, he started catching passes right in the middle of this trampoline. I said, wow, this young dude, he's crazy, but he's working hard. He's a Cleveland Browns wide receiver. Rashad Higgins. Let me just share with you a little bit about this man. He played at Mesquite High School in Dallas, Texas. That's, of course, my town. So we grew up in my city. I call it my city since I got there in 88.
took over. He set a freshman record at Colorado State University with 6 to 8 receptions that went for 837 yards as a freshman with 6 TDs. His sophomore year, dog, this tripped me out. Sophomore year, you were a finalist for the Biletnikoff Award, which means that's the best receiver in the country. Which is 96 receptions, 1,750 yards. Dog, you went the hell off, man. And now you would know him because he's the man that replaced Odell Beckham Jr. for the Cleveland Browns. He's a young man, up and coming, and you need to hear his story. Rashad Higgins. Rashad, thanks for joining the MIP, my brother. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Mike, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing well, Rashad. Just trying to keep it moving. Rashad, let's jump right into this because I know your time is valuable, and I've always wanted to take this time, man, since we started working out a while ago and watching your development and watching how you come along, man. I appreciate young guys that work and work hard. And that trampoline stuff we do, that's a hard workout. And when you first time, you remember you said, you asked Igor. For those who don't know, we do this trampoline workout. We do it at 7 o'clock in the morning. We're all over there. And it's so hard, man. And right in the midst of the workout, he's getting passes thrown to him. And I was like, oh, my God, how can he focus on the passes as tiring as this is? So, man, I've always just enjoyed, you know, how hard you work, man, and how things are panning out for you now. Let's talk about this season, though, Rashad. You know, this season started out, of course, Odell and Jarvis Landry. And everybody's talking about that. But Odell goes down and you get thrust in the spotlight and in the lineup, man. What has that been like for you?
You know, it's actually been one of the best things that ever happened to me. You know, me training for my moment, I would say, a moment that you've been waiting for a long time. And it actually presented itself when Odell went down. You know, you hate for a teammate like that to go down because obviously you train with him. You it's just a brother to you, you know, and for him to go down, it's tragic, but it's the next man up mentality. So when he went down, you know, I was just like, here it is, you know, let's make the most of it. And I'm taking it and I'm running with it.
You're running with it right now. 35 receptions, 544 yards. You got 4 TDs. And last week, Rashad, you know, everybody's dealing with this difficult time of COVID and everything. And last week, the Cleveland Browns had a chance to clinch a playoff berth for the first time in 17 years. And, you know, those people were so crazy. It's those fans in Cleveland, man. I got to give them credit. Those are some real, you know, how people, especially us as brothers, always talking about, man, I'm diehard. Them boys in Cleveland, they real diehard. You know what I'm saying?
So, yeah,
they
diehard.
They're in that dog pound. Every time, no matter what, man. You know what I mean? What is it like playing in Cleveland with those fans like that, Rashad?
You know what? Just to give you an example of how diehard fan it of a town it is, when we was 0-16, 0-15, you know what? When we was 0-15, the stadium was still packed as if we was 15-0. You get what I'm saying? So this town, it's a football town, and I've always heard if y'all was to go to the Super Bowl, you think when the Cavs won, when you seen that parade of a million people, I believe, just wait until you guys go to the Super Bowl or even the playoffs. You get what I'm saying? So this team just want to win. They want to win, and that's something we want to bring to this town.
You talk about just going to the playoffs, Rashad. You could have gotten in the playoffs right now with the win last week against the Jets. The Jets. Imagine you could say, if we beat the Jets, we're in. And I'm sure you would have beaten the Jets, but you were without all of the starting receivers, but basically the wide receiver room. Explain to us what happened. How did that happen?
Well, went down was the NFL – supposedly told us we was close contact with a guy that actually came down with COVID. They ran back all the footage and you know, if one receiver was close to him, they know all the receivers are close together, then, you know what, we got to rule all the receivers out. So that's what happened. Coach Stefanski, you know, he tried to pull it off without the receivers, but it was a tough one, you know. It was a tough one. He missed his guys. Baker missed his guys, and it was showing during the Jets game.
Yeah, man, listen, when a tight end gets 15, 16 targets in a game, I mean, that's all I got to throw to, dog. What do you want me to do? It's it, man. They robbed me of all of my pass catchers, man. But what was that like personally for you guys? When you think about it, you know, you got 10 wins. You beat the Jets, you're in. You just talked about that, knowing how faithful that crowd has been and what they deserve. I remember, Rashad, even when you guys didn't get suspended for really doing anything. It's just COVID protocol and everybody trying to be careful. But I got a vacation because I was doing some gnarly shit. And they gave me a 5-day vacation. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you something. It was the hardest thing in the world. That little 5-game, I call it vacation, they gave me. Others may call it a suspension. I call it vacation. It was so difficult watching my guys scrap without me. You know what I mean, man? It was like, I was like, damn, I'm not there with my guys right now scrapping, man. What was that like for you watching Cleveland, watching your guys scrap, trying to bring home that playoff victory without
you? You know, it was tough. It's tough just because knowing that I'm a big part of the offense, knowing that my other teammates is a big part of the offense. You know, we all in this thing together, and just how everything went down, you know, you never feel how greatly impacted it is until it affects you, you know. And then they rule us out, what, a day before we leave. And it's just like, Baker, go pull this off, man. You got to do it without your receivers, you know. So it was hard. And, I mean, we got the Steelers. We got another chance to try to get off into this playoff run, and we're going to put our best foot forward, and we're going to try to get it done.
Rashad, you talked about just then about being the guy, man, because now you are the guy, and you're making plays, man. And every time I see you make a play, I feel some kind of way, just because we've been scrapping together in the workhouse, and I see the work you put in. You know what I mean? So I feel good about it. I'm like, that's my boy right there, man. He feels good. Yeah. And then I go to the gym, and we're talking about you at the gym. Did you see Rashad score? Yeah, you're inside. You know, some people come in, they got your jersey on and everything. Everybody's so happy for you, man, and everything, man. Talk to me and share with the people who all were missing because of that. And let me ask you, have you tested positive for COVID? You still haven't tested positive for COVID.
I did not test positive for COVID.
So you missed the game on close contact. And you've been taking tests ever since, and you haven't tested positive.
Yeah, correct.
How many? Who all missed the game? I know it's you, Jarvis, people. Who? Just share with everybody who all missed the game.
Everybody that missed it was me, Jarvis, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Kadarryl Hodge, and the guys that actually got the COVID, which was B.J. Goodson. That's all that I know of.
What are they telling you guys about this week so far?
We actually didn't even get to practice today. We're not allowed to go to the building. They're telling us to quarantine for 5 days. So tomorrow, hopefully, we're able to go in. We've been testing negative this whole time. So it's just like, you meant to tell me we're testing negative and we had to miss the game. You get what I'm saying? So it's really – That's the side that actually pisses us off, because we know we had a chance to win this game, and by COVID affecting us by being a close contact, it's, we call it BS. You know, it's hard on us, and man, I'm really just itching to get out there and just start running. You get what I'm saying? So it has affected us. That COVID is no joke. I advise anybody that's listening to this, take it very seriously,
right,
and do it all the coaches tell you to do. Just, you know, stay away, stay out the mix.
What are the conversations now, man? Because, you know, you go through that mentally where, you know, you're not able to play. And you're going to even, you can reconcile with it if ultimately you test positive. You say, okay, they did the right thing. Everything worked out. But like you say, you keep coming up negative. You're like, oh, my God, that makes it even more difficult. Now you have to move forward. You have to move forward. And you're looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers, a win and you're in scenario with a team that has had some pretty good success against you over the years, man. What is the mentality for the Cleveland Browns going into this game against Pittsburgh this weekend?
You know, going to Pittsburgh, it's always a dogfight, you know. Big rival up the street. They don't like us. We don't like them. And it's always a battle, you know. It always comes down to the last couple plays that determine the game, determine the factor of the game. So this one, we gotta put everything together, you know. We gotta show the world where we missed that Jets game.
What is it going to mean now? Because, you know, I gotta think with being on the sideline and a lot of the starters that they're going to sit. I gotta think. I know you can't go into the game looking at it because just counting it. You gotta go and play and win the game. But I gotta think you're going to win this game, man. Just you win the game. You're going to the playoffs, first time in 17 years. You're a part of that. You know, Odell go down, man, unfortunately, and he's our boy. I love him. You love him. We all love him. But your story is you're coming in the other door. You know what I mean? You didn't come in the first round draft pick. You're fighting your way in. Most of the world is your story, fighting your way in. What will it mean, man, to deliver after being drafted there to Cleveland, to deliver them that playoff berth for the first time in 17 years?
You know what, Mike? It's going to mean the world. It's going to mean the world because I was drafted here. I've been through the ups. You know what I want to say? I've been through the downs. I'm going to say I've been through the downs. I've been through the 0-16, the 1-15, and to still be here and to still know that this team believes in me, this town believes in me, it means the world. And to know that I got the brothers to the left and right of me every day, you know, every day. You got Jarvis, and how passionate he is for the love of football.
Dog,
you know,
ain't man. He's a dog. I love that dude, man.
I'm telling you, he a dog.
Him. Let me tell you something what happened, right? We were doing the combine, right? And Jarvis, he was at the combine. You're telling me a story because this dude is a joke, right? So he's running a route. He kind of pulled up, he heard his hammy. And all the people, you know, I'm broadcasting the combine. All the people at the combine are trying to say, hey, stop. You shouldn't go. That's it. We don't want you to hurt yourself. But he's such a dog, he wants to go anyway. So they asked me, they said, Michael, he'll respect you. Can you go and ask him? You know, I went over to talk to him. I said, man, you okay, man? You know, you don't have to go. He said, man, with all respect, dog, I got to show them who I am and what I can do out here. I said, I understand. I walked away. I went back. I said, hey, listen, I can't get him to do anything. I said, listen, if you ask me what receiver I'm drafting, I'm drafting that fella right there first. Yeah. So that dog, he wants to fight. I don't care, with one arm tied behind his bike. He just want to get in the fight. I love him for that, dog. What kind of dude here, Jarvis? Talk to us about Jarvis Landry.
Man, Juice, he got that passion. He brings it, and he knows it. You know what I mean? So it don't matter where we at, man. He's ready to compete. You get what I'm saying? It don't matter if we playing basketball, some stuff that we don't do on the regular. If we playing basketball, man, we can race home. Like, look, man, it don't matter what it is, Mike. You know, it's just he got a passion for the game, and he going to talk his shit, and he going to back it up, you know. He going to catch that football, too. That's one thing I do know about him. He catch that football, and he catch it well. So I do a lot of learning from him. He's been one of my biggest mentors, you know. I know my biggest ability is catching the football, and that's one thing I learned from Jarvis. You know, he catches the ball, and he catches it well. So I try to mimic my game off of him. He's not the fastest. He's not the strongest, but he's good at running routes, you know, and I try to mock my game off of him.
Rashad, that means you're trying to fight like he fights, and you are a fighter, man. When you think about your story, Rashad, listen, you put up 1,700 yards in college. Those kind of years will usually translate into being a first-round draft pick and going on doing some wonderful things. It didn't work that way. You had to come in your fifth-round draft pick, but you fight your fight and your work. And that's a hell of a journey and a hell of a story to tell. What has that been like for you? I mean, you get drafted there. I mean, you know, you got Jarvis. Then they bring in Jarvis Landry. Then they bring in Odell Beckham. What's to keep you going and keep you fighting when they're bringing these kinds of guys in when they got you there and they drafted you there?
Mike, I feel like I got a lot to prove. You know, me going fifth round, obviously not where I wanted to be, but I'm just blessed to even got drafted. You know what I'm saying? So in my class, in the receiver group, we drafted five receivers, and I was the fourth receiver. I always felt like, you know what, I'm better than a lot of these guys that's out here. I work my ass off. I keep doing it, and I prove it, and I try to stay consistent at it. You know, when I'm working out, I always got this thought in my mind, like, I know if somebody wanted to be where I'm at, they're going to work their ass off. So that's what I do. You know what I mean? I work hard, and I just got a lot to prove, you know, and I never want to be complacent. Never want to be complacent, and I always want more, you know. That's what life's about. How far can you go, you know? So I just work my ass off, Mike, and I mean, you see it.
I do see it, man, and that's why I wanted to talk to you because, you know, you talk to people and everybody always tell that journey, you know, that journey. But the reality is, man, more people will come in the other door than come in the front door. Very few people get to come in the front door. Oh, you come in with all the hype. Most of us have to work our way to that greatness. And your story is a great story. It's a great story of patience. It's a great story of determination, not giving up, you getting drafted to a team, and then they're trading for top guys, bringing other guys in. But then when you got your shot and when you're getting your shot now, you're showing up and doing what you do, man, and making a difference for this football team. And that's an incredible journey and an incredible story, man. We talk about wide receiver. What is it like? Because let me tell you, I told people, dude, you get to see it. I played with a great running back too, in Emmitt Smith, right? Like you playing with like Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. Like Emmitt, man. And Chubb,
boy, some monsters.
I do bad. Hey, Chubb, let me tell you what, Sean, I used to block like Emmitt, right? Emmitt's so funny. Emmitt would make a run, and I'm trying to block, but I'm looking because you're looking. You want to see the run. You are.
Yeah.
Right here. And I go to sideline, right? Emmitt made one run against Detroit. I went inside. I said, oh my God, dog. Woo, woo, woo. I was hype. Woo, 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 woo. I was hype like I don't know. I said, dog, the greatest run I ever saw. Oh my God, the greatest run I ever saw. You know what, dude? He was like, what? I said, the greatest run I ever saw. He said, hey, man, you shouldn't have seen it. You should have been blocking somebody.
Hey, you know
but
what,
you got to see. You know, yeah. Hey, your boy, Chubb, make those kind of runs. How can you not look? I know you're supposed to be blocking, but how can you not look at those runs sometimes?
Man, Mike, listen, when Nick in the game, you never know what play might pop. You get what I'm saying? You never know. If it's a 17 and I'm on the backside, I'm trying to cut off and go the back way, the ball might mess around and come back to my side, you know, so – it's just like you gotta get your block regardless, because Chubb, no matter where that ball is supposed to go, Chubb gonna make something out of nothing. You get what I'm saying? And when he get tired, it's just like, well, oh snap, we got a fresh leg, Kareem Hunt coming in. You get what I'm saying? And it's hard to stop that. It's hard to stop that. And, you know, when you running the ball like you do, they load that box up, and then here you go. You got Rashad Higgins, you got Jarvis Landry, and it's time to put you in the end zone, baby. So this team, we having a lot of fun. We having a lot of fun this year, and I can tell you this has been the best year this far of playing with the Browns. So it's a hell of a season so far. We got a lot to prove.
Yeah, you got 10 wins right now, man. 10 wins. 10 wins right now. And basically, right now, you're in the playoffs. You're in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? You win, you continue to play. That's what the playoffs are. When you win, you continue to play. And you got a guy orchestrating it that's playing at an all-time level right now, probably playing his best football of his career, and Baker Mayfield, man. What is your relationship like with Baker Mayfield?
Me and Baker, we're real close. You know, I check him all the time. He checks on me. We got this receiver quarterback connection that Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams got. You know, I feel like he knows me well. I know him well. I know he's frustrated. You know, just like after that Jets game, he tried to do everything he could to pull it off. And
yeah,
you know, I just want the best for that guy. You know, just want the best for him. Want to see him prevail. You know, him being a walk on at OU, and that how everything, you know, just how everything turned out to be. It's just a hell of a story, just like mine, you know, and then him being the first round draft pick, and when he actually got drafted, Corey Coleman told me, he was like, man, that boy Baker is a baller. And I was like, well, shit, he gonna have to prove it to me. He came in, he was with the second group just like me. And it was just like, ever since then, it was like Picasso painting a picture. It's just smooth. You get what I'm saying? So
yeah. So y'all started working together there on the second unit together. When he came in, y'all working together. So y'all encouraging each other on the second unit. We're gonna get that, but we're gonna get that together. We're gonna be ready. What did he say to you? Unfortunately, when Odell went down, it was your time to step up. Just like you kept encouraging him, what did he say to you to encourage you?
It wasn't even that he had to even say nothing. He knew, we already knew what time it was. You know, we ball at practice, and the game was the Cincinnati game. And funny story, we was going down to the last winning drive, and we called an out and up. I said, Baker, be ready for the back shoulder, man. I feel like he might play it over the top. He said, man, I don't care what you do. I'm throwing this ball out there, and you go catch it. He threw it out there. You can run it back and go watch it, Mike. He threw it out there. I caught it. It was just like little things like that. You know, he believed in me, and I believe in him. You know, so that's my boy.
I know, man. That goes a long way on the football field. There's only one game I really had Troy. And Troy's always come to me, man. But when we got down in that 94 championship game, 21-0, we had fumbled the ball. And Troy was like, listen, I'm coming to you no matter what. I said, hey, that's all I've been waiting for you to say. All my life. I've been waiting all my life. He said, well, get ready, you know. And he was throwing that ball. So I know what that means. On a football field, you get your quarterback to say something to you like that? Oh, my God. As a receiver, dog, that's straight heaven, dog.
Yeah,
that's straight heaven when you can get that.
Yeah, for sure. And to, like I said, Mike, for somebody to believe in you more than you possibly believe in yourself, that mean the world. You get what I'm saying? So that's it. That's it right there.
That speaks to his great leadership, Rashad. That speaks to his great leadership and promoting you and pushing you like that, man. So when you look at this football team, man, right now, the Cleveland Browns, you see the landscape, man. We talk enough football. You understand football. How good is this football team, the Cleveland Browns, and how far can they go if and when they get in the playoffs?
You know, we got the potential to do whatever we want to do. you know, we control our own destiny. And it proved to me when we played the Titans and we had those guys down. I don't even know what the score was going into halftime. And we was stopping Derrick Henry, you know, and it was just like we was clicking on all cylinders. That's when I knew that we was a hell of a football team, you know, and I feel like we can compete with the best, you know, if we was to get the Chiefs in the first round, you know, I feel like we got a high power offense to get the job done. You know, we can put up points when need to be, and we can get the stops when need to be.
So you think that no matter who you guys play, you think you're ready to play them if you get in the playoffs?
Most definitely.
Now, you called out the Chiefs right there. We get the Chiefs. I mean, that's straight to the top, but it ain't like, you know, we're willing to work our way through and make it and get play the Chiefs when we get it. You just saying we ready to go play the Chiefs. It's going
to
take
I'm letting you know we ready to play anybody.
Yeah.
Whoever come out there on that any Sunday given, they bound to get beat. That's all I'm saying.
What do you have to do this Sunday to take down those Pittsburgh Steelers, the rivals?
We got to come out there focused. We got to come out there relaxed. And we got to come out there and play the best football that we ever played. You know, we got to play like this is a playoff game, and because it is.
The intensity for this game. This game's in Cleveland. You win this game, you're in the playoffs. What do you anticipate that locker room will be like after 17 years of missing the moment and now being in control of your own destiny and being ready right now to run out on this field and complete the goal of making the playoffs in 2020? How do you foresee that locker room right before that game starts?
I see it energetic. I see the crowd being at the most highest it's ever been. I see confetti falling in the locker room after when they say 0-0 at the end of that clock. I see people offering us free food in the town whenever we want it. I see a lot, Mike, and I want it. I want it because we deserve it.
The greatest thing, man, I'll end with this, man, and share it with you. The greatest moment I remember in football ever. You know, I came in the league, man, my first year. I did not lose. I lost 2-3 games my total career at Miami. I won 3 games the first year, 1 game the second year. A couple years later, I was winning 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. The greatest moment was after that first Super Bowl, sitting in that locker room with Shaw, knowing what we went through and said, we really done it. We really done it, man. We won. We're here. And I hope you have that moment, brother. You put in the work. You've gone through the downtime. Oh, Cleveland, you and those faithfuls in the dog pound have that moment where you said, wow, we really did it.
Appreciate you, Mike.
Appreciate you too, brother. Thanks for giving me a moment.
Most definitely.
All right, buddy.
All right, man.
Good luck this weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I want to thank my boy for taking a moment to share with us what's going on in Cleveland. Now it's my favorite time of the week. That's right. It's the old namesake. My playmaker of the week. Da-da-da-da-da! And I'm going to tell you something. Let me just start with this right now, guys, because it's almost like I can do this, these two, every week. Stephon Diggs and Devontae Adams, one in the AFC, one in the NFC. I mean, they are battling to see who's going to make my playmakers of the week the most. Stephon Diggs last week, after we had him right here on the MIP, went for 9 receptions, 145 yards, and 3 receiving TDs in that big win over the Patriots. I mean, he was unstoppable. 3 TDs. Every time you looked around, he was scoring. He was just incredible, man. The combination between him and Josh Allen is
is second to none right now in the National Football League. They are setting all kinds of records for Buffalo. Stephon Diggs, my honorable mention. And as I said, Devontae Adams, these partners in crime have been sitting on my playmaker of the week every week. Devontae Adams, again, he goes off. 11 receptions, 142 yards, 3 receiving TDs, and that big win over the Titans in snow. I mean, did you see the weather in that game? Oh, my God. Think about this now. He's putting up those type of numbers in that snow, freezing stuff that went on in Lambeau. They have home field advantage throughout the playoff. Tampa, New Orleans. What team wants to go in there? The Rams. What NFC? The Cardinals. Whoever gets in the playoffs, who wants to go into that cold and play? And they're playing like that in that cold. It's absolutely insane. Maybe Seattle can deal with it, but I don't see any other team in the NFC that can deal with it if they have to go to Lambeau. Great job again, Stephon Diggs and Devontae Adams. My guy here I want to get in here this time too as an honorable mention is Mike Evans. A couple reasons I want to get this in. You know, Mike Evans coming into the week was like 221 yards, if I remember correctly, away from his 7 straight 1,000-yard season that no one has ever had. He has the record right now tied with Randy Moss as 6 straight 1,000-yard seasons. What I loved about this game is I loved watching how they intended to get him to this 1,000-yard mark. It's almost as if they said, we know we asked you to sacrifice some things to bring in guys like Antonio Brown and Gronk. We want to make sure we give you this. And they were working that ball towards him. Tom Brady in the first half, and then Tom Brady left. Blaine Gabbert came in the second half, and he started working that ball towards him. I just like the fact that they saw that, and they said, it matters. You committed to us. We're committed to you. Let's make sure we try to get you these passes. And I think they'll get him to his 7th. And record-breaking 1,000-yard season. But, my playmaker of the week goes to that running back from New Orleans. 6 rushing touchdowns, 155 rushing yards. He added on another 3 receptions for 17 yards. Insane. 6 rushing touchdowns. Do you know the last time somebody scored 6 rushing touchdowns? Let me give it to you. It was almost 100 years ago. It was 1929. A guy playing for the Chicago Cardinals named Ernie Nevers. 6 rushing touchdowns. Almost 100 years ago, 1929. Alvin Kamara, when you reach that deep in the history and snatch out your own great destiny, where you're telling people, I'm leaving my mark upon this league. And I don't do it in the traditional fashion. Because when you look back at Alvin Kamara, rushing numbers over the years. In 2017, he rushed for 728 yards. In 18, 883 yards. In 19, 797 yards. 2020, he's at 932. Looking to get his first 1,000-yard rushing season. And he gets 6 rushing touchdowns to set himself in the record book. Hey, man. When you're making plays like that and you're setting and making history like that, I have to tell you, I have to give it to you. You are my playmaker of the week.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.